Thank you, Michael. In a moment, the cases of the Roma children. Stay with us after this short break. Welcome back. This is Saturday with Brian Dowling, and we welcome your views on any of the topics we cover. Here's how you can get in touch. You can text us at 51551. Our email address is saturday@rte.ie, and our Twitter address is @SaturdayRTE. Joining us today, the Minister for Children, Francis Fitzgerald, Independent TD for Dublin North Central, Finian McGrath, Rose Forrest, a barrister specialising in children's issues, and joining us by phone from Killarney, Bridget Quilligan, Director of the Irish Traveller Movement. You're all very welcome. Minister, if I can start with yourself first. At the outset, the government requested reports from both the HSE and the Gardaí on their respective conduct of the cases involving the Roma children. As of last night, we had reached a point where the Children's Ombudsman, Emily Logan, is now conducting a statutory-based inquiry. She's been given additional powers, or will be given additional powers, in respect of the Gardaí. What changed?
Well, the morning after these events, as soon as the DNA results had come through, Alan Chatter spoke in the Senate, and then he and I spoke the next morning and agreed an approach, which was to get reports from both the Garda Commissioner and the HSE, and ask the Ombudsman to do an investigation, because we felt she would have the trust of the public, and that it did need an independent inquiry with somebody such as Emily Logan, who has shown herself in the past to be well capable, and her office, of doing this type of independent report. What has developed since then, of course, is to clarify that she absolutely has the power to investigate both the Garda side and the HSE involvement. Under her own act, the Ombudsman's Act, she has full authority in relation to the HSE. And what Minister Alan Shatter has done yesterday is clarify in detail her terms of reference, and the fact that she will be able to interview everybody from the Garda side as well. And of course, it's the interagency piece here that we need to examine. So she has full authority to go in under a different act. So it complements what she already has under her own Ombudsman for Children Act, and he has now made it absolutely clear that she can investigate thoroughly the Gardaí actions as well, which is the right thing to do, because we want to learn from this.
Was there a sense in the initial period afterwards that the internal reports by both the HSE and the Gardaí Síochána simply wouldn't wash with the public?
Oh, there was always, I mean, I always understood that that wouldn't be enough. And that's why very early on we said it should be the Ombudsman. And then we moved to clarify that she would indeed have the powers in relation to the Gardaí, because there was some concern because she is excluded under her own act from that. So, we really have acted very quickly and strongly to make sure that the public will have trust in this investigation, that the Gardaí, and there's often been resistance in the past to allowing somebody to go in and ask the Gardaí directly what's happened.
On that particular point, there are some people who might have looked at this and thought that perhaps the most appropriate way was a joint investigation by both the Children's Ombudsman and the Garda Ombudsman's office. But as we know, earlier this summer, the Garda Ombudsman Commission made very, very stark and very serious criticisms of the lack of cooperation that they were receiving from An Garda Síochána in terms of their requests for information. And so it made a point that they were going public. Was that a factor in actually deciding to give Emily Logan powers under the Criminal Justice Act to allow her to investigate the Gardaí? Because looking at those powers, they are very robust, and they allow her a capacity to invoke the High Court and contempt proceedings if she does not get cooperation.
Yes. Well, we discussed the appropriate way. I mean, Alan Shatter felt very much that, and I agreed with him, because Emily Logan, has child protection at the centre, and, child welfare is the paramount consideration in her investigations, that coming from that perspective would be extremely useful, provided she had the powers in relation to the Gardaí as well. And that's why that decision was made. It really wasn't to do with any other factors. That was the key reason for making the decision that we made. And the internal reports would be normal good practice when there's any event. I mean, if it's, for example, the death of a child in care, which is the most extreme event you can have, you will always go first to the service and say, well, look, you tell us precisely what happened. Give us a report. We'll have those two reports within 2 weeks. And then we will give those to the Ombudsman for Children. But what she's made very clear in her interview last night is that she will begin her investigation now. These reports will form part of her approach to it, but only part. She will, begin anew herself as an independent person.
Bridget Quilligan, you're joining us by phone from Killarney, Director of the Irish Traveller Movement. Are you satisfied with the way the inquiry process is now proceeding?
Initially, of course, we weren't satisfied with the way the whole thing was conducted. But after the announcement that the Ombudsman for Children will be conducting an independent investigation, we're quite satisfied with that, yes.
And looking at the events of recent days, Bridget, what's the view among the traveller community?
Well, initially, I suppose, just to say that the traveller community were absolutely shocked about it, as were all Irish people, to think that a child might be abducted. But once things started to be clarified that actually there was no reason for this child to be removed from her parents' care other than it was based on an anonymous tip-off via Facebook to a journalist. Well, if you think that this investigation, that a child was taken, from two children in fact were taken from their parents in the same week, based on the very, very basic thing of the colour of their hair and the colour of their skin, and that other children were left in the care of those very same parents, there's some startling questions to be asked. And considering the hysteria that surrounded the case of Marie-Anne Griess, it's very, very disappointing to any person of any difference in Ireland to think that this is what you could be subjected to if you're any bit different. If there's any bit of lack of understanding about your culture, the basic thing that people felt, that a child from a Roma background couldn't have blonde hair, when anybody that has worked with the Roma community in any part of the world would know there's blonde children within that community, and that our national police force and that our national health service executive didn't understand that is absolutely startling. Okay.
Can I just come first to Rose Forrest? Rose, the point that Bridget made there in respect of the removal of the two children, but particularly the child in Talla, the issue I think a lot of people would have in their mind is, why was just one child removed?
In this state, excuse my voice, in this state there are clear legislative guidelines under the Child Care Act 1991 and Children First and the Child Protection Handbook that social workers would use. If there had been an assessment of the family, we don't know what took place, because that should, the information that's present in the press should never have been there in the first place. So I'm not relying on any of that. But in an ordinary situation, the whole family, all children, would have been assessed, because a social worker is mandated to assess the situation. Now, if I may start from the beginning, the principles are that the HSE is under a statutory duty to promote the welfare of children that they identify as in need of care and protection. And that's a statutory principle, to have regard to the parents and the views and wishes of the child. And that's what they must do. And if they find that that child is in need of care and protection, under Section 4, they would seek to remove that child. Now, from there, if there is no cooperation from the parents and that child is in need of care and protection, they are under a duty, the HSE is under a duty under the statute to initiate proceedings to protect that child. And then they go into the proceedings of the care order, etc. In this situation, a Section 12 was used by the Gardaí, and we only have bits and pieces of information here as to why that took place. A Section 12 is only used, in my experience over 20 years, in very rare circumstances, extreme circumstances that people would find difficult to comprehend. And if I may give some examples that are anonymous, I would say, for example, an A&E admission for a child with a parent where a consultant assesses a twisted femur, a break in the child's leg, the thigh, but a twist. It raises non-accidental injury to their training. They would then seek the consent of a parent to have them x-rayed. They did. Within the x-ray process, this consultant will be able to identify previous fractures healed, etc.
So if there's a history of,
yes,
of
and from
medical
that,
evidence of
from
previous
that,
injuries, yes.
From that, they then would engage in a multidisciplinary way with the other agencies, with the social workers, etc. However, where the parent then removes their consent and tries to leave the hospital, it would be at that point that they would call the Gardaí. That would be a Section 12. And if I may say two more briefly, one is domestic violence, a very prevalent problem in Ireland, and where, in circumstances where neighbours live next door to domestic violence situations, they measure themselves as to when they call in a concern. And it is frequently the case in domestic violence situations, not in Ireland per se, but in those situations where the screams, and I put it like that, and where there are children in the home, where a neighbour hears at a certain pitch, and they will refer to that pitch, it's excessive, they know something extremely dangerous is happening, they will call the Gardaí, a Section 12. And finally, in relation to substance abuse, again, a difficult problem in Ireland, it's still not addressed through the various, addressed sufficiently through the strategies because of the resource issues that pertain, and when it impacts on child protection, where a person is addressing their substance misuse and rehabilitation, and they have a relapse, where that takes place and they have the children returned to them, it can be the case that the child is at risk, and on that basis, a Section 12 is necessitated by the Gardaí, and under that authority, they will remove the child. And in an ordinary circumstance, if it just may continue, they will contact
very
the HSC and that child would be appropriately placed. And then the full interagency protocol is followed, whereby strategy meetings should be held. And that should take place. Now, I have to say, it doesn't always take place. That is the protocol that should be followed.
Minister Francis Fitzgerald.
One of the points I would make, it is important that we don't now jump to conclusions. I mean, the reason we're having these investigations is to find out. And I do take the point that Bridget makes about, you know, appearance should obviously not determine intervention. What we want to see are appropriate interventions based on proper assessment. And in the public interest, that's why we're asking for these reports, to see, you know, precisely what happened. So let's not assume that one factor or another was actually totally determined, you know,
there
what
is,
actually
though,
happened.
If I may put this point to you, and Rose made reference to this, within the HSE's own Child Protection and Welfare Practice Handbook, one section of it says, assessments should be culturally sensitive while at all times in compliance with the legislation. Professionals must acknowledge and show respect for the values and traditions of families from diverse cultural, ethnic and religious backgrounds.
Yes.
So from the beginning, when an issue arises, there's an expectation that those principles will apply.
And let me give you an example. I mean, I have responsibility for the early years sector. One of the pieces of work that has been done in early years preschool services now is to help providers and those working with children to understand diversity, to be able to, if you like, cope with difference. We have so many more children in this country now from different ethnic, different migrant groups. And indeed, the Gardaí themselves and social workers have done a huge amount of training in this. But of course, it is interesting, and the public, of course, everyone is aware of the huge coverage that was happening about the Roma community internationally and the backdrop that was out there. And if you start to look at that coverage, you see how much focus was put on appearance.
You see, Brian, I think there's two issues in relation to this this debate. First of all, you have the race and prejudice issues and the lack of respect for diversity and ethnic minorities in the country. And then you have child safety. Now, to go back to the core issue about the Roma families, I'm absolutely very concerned by the way that on the trauma that was inflicted on by these two young children and young families. I think the state in this case, now I'm waiting for the facts to see what happened, but my initial reaction to it was, I do feel there was elements of the state acting in a very heavy-handed manner. I wonder, and I ask the question, were they removed without establishing the full facts? We also have the race issue in relation to minorities in this country. The state and the establishment and the government and all parties in the Dáil have to wake up that we have a problem, an underlying problem here, where there's racism and there's prejudice in this country that has to be faced up and dealt with. Now, I've spoken in relation to this issue many times in the Dáil, and I want to strongly agree with Bridget in relation to the traveller community. So that's an issue that we have to deal with as well. But to go back to the other issue of child, our fundamental objective as legislators and under the Child Care Act is to protect children. There are 6,000 children in care at the moment in this state. That's very low by international standards. And regularly we would give the Minister grief, why don't they intervene quicker to deal with, if you have a child living in a violent, dysfunctional, alcohol, drug fuel family, we would be the ones that would be jumping up and down to do something about it. But these kind of families have to be helped as well. But to go back to the Roma families, from my reaction, I'm very concerned about the way the state and the services react to that family. And I'm also concerned about sections of the media, the way that was portrayed as well. There are issues there to be answered by both the state, the services, the HSE, the guards, and also in the media. And the final point I make, Brian, it's very, very important that to realise and respect that there are two families that have suffered major trauma here, and we need to do something about that.
Bridget Quilligan, do you believe that what has happened and whatever investigation and the outcome of the investigation by Emily Logan, that at one level it at least provides an opportunity to highlight some issues in respect of travellers and ethnic minorities and perhaps at least move things on in that regard?
Absolutely, because out of every bad thing, you must look for an opportunity. There's serious learning in how to deal with difference in this country. And I know that there's lots of great initiatives going on, but in terms of our police force and our HSC, there's still huge gaps. And whatever recommendations come out of Emily Logan's report, I hope the protocols, stronger protocols and clearer protocols are put in place. And might I just say as well, in terms of, you know, the structures that already is there, we have ethnic liaison officers all over this country. And I just wonder, and I don't know at this point, if there was an ethnic liaison officer deployed to support the Gardaí and to support the family around this time when all of this was happening. And even now after, if I might just say again in response to something that Finian said there about the media, the role of the media in this has just been astonishing. I know there's been some really good supportive media done in the last number of days, but prior to that, these two families, and indeed the family in Greece, were absolutely slaughtered by the media. They were already convicted of child abuse, of kidnapping, of abductions, prior to any investigation or any kind of facts coming out.
Francis Fitzgerald, Minister for Children.
Sorry, Bridget,
make that point.
Sorry, Minister. I just want to say that as well, that how this was leaked to the media, when other cases that are taken in the courts every day, children, their sensitivity around the children is protected, the family is protected, and this family was inundated with the media outside their doors in Tala. And the child yesterday appearing, her picture blurred on a publication, and the child was interviewed. I know, albeit with the parents' permission, but it would really, really just strikes me as just the child again being more traumatised and subjected to more spotlight, when all the family would need at this time, I think, is some peace, space, just to analyse and go through everything that they've gone through in the last number of days. And the support there. And I just ask the media to give them space around that and put themselves in the family's position, how they would feel if their child was taken away, and to look at their own children of 7 years of age and ask, would they be able to be answering questions in the national media? Because I know when my child was seven, I certainly wouldn't have subjected him to that, or wouldn't have liked him to be subjected to that.
Minister Francis Fitzgerald.
Yes, well, this whole episode, I do believe, does give us an opportunity to really say, you know, what is best practice in relation to minority groups, or, you know, acknowledging difference and the services dealing with it well. So I think out of this, that surely must come. But to make the point about privacy, in effect, that's why so many of the cases that are heard in our courts, that there is an in-camera rule, that you don't talk about individual children, that you don't report cases. But what we are allowing now, and I signed the regulations last year, so for the first time, we're having Carl Coulter going into the courts and reporting on precisely what is happening, but not obviously breaking the confidentiality of any family. And of course, help has been offered to these families should they wish to avail of it, either from, you know, voluntary groups or the statutory services. And certainly that has been offered by both the Gardaí and the HSE.
If Emily Logan's investigation and report into this whole matter, if it gives rise to issues about resources and the deployment of resources and additional resources, How will the government receive that, particularly in a period when we all know about the budgetary cutbacks that are there? If there are financial implications at the end of this?
Well, you know, obviously, I think it's not only about financial implications, it is about training and understanding. I mean, the Section 12s, for example, are used. There's clearly going to be an examination of Section 12s. Again, I wouldn't want the guards to pull back where a child is in need of care and protection, I have to say. And Rose has already talked about, you know, the Gardaí are called to situations where people are, you know, shooting up drugs. And there's a child in the corner, so they have to take action.
There may be issues around the number of staff available, the number of social workers that are available.
Yes.
What happens if Emily
Logan... Well, that's something I have been examining, and there are issues in terms of the demands on the service. There's no question of that. We got some more resources in the budget this year. It's also about reforming the services. And as you know, just this week in the Dáil, I brought the Child and Family Agency, which will be established in the new year through the committee stage. And, you know, we have to reform how we deliver services as well. But I think there's a big piece about, you know, social workers and everybody who's in contact with the various groups, minority groups in the country. You can never do enough training. You can never take enough opportunity to make sure that people are being dealt with sensitively and carefully. And the threshold should be the same for every family in terms of intervention.
Rose Forrest, can you clarify for listeners, Rose, one thing first of all? The legislation that was used with these children, the Section 12 legislation, that's existing standing legislation.
Yes.
How long has that been there?
It's been there since, well, the Act was commenced in 1995. It's a 1991 Act. It's a vital piece in the community, particularly in circumstances where the HSE does not work at weekends and in the evening. That is the 999 call for protection for children. And usually it would be the case that the Gardaí would exercise that responsibly. In my experience, I would say usually. I just want to clarify a couple of points. In relation to Children First and the guideline book for social work practitioners, it is very clear on interagency working, the disciplines in relation to the HSE notifying Gardaí and vice versa, the Gardaí notifying the HSE, and not just notifying them, but sharing information planning a strategy on what the concerns are. And it says specifically in the Child Protection Manual, a description of events and circumstances is not an assessment. It is not an assessment. And it goes through with reference to all the matters that they need to take account of. In the social work handbook, there is a protocol now for joint training for the Gardaí and the social workers. Now, this has always been possible in certain circumstances, but it is to be rolled out nationally, I understand. That will make a fundamental difference. I went on that training now nearly 20 years ago, and when you work with the social workers, with the Gardaí, with the public health nurses all together, they understand there's a cultural divide in the way they operate in child protection. It needs to have a higher emphasis, and I'm sure Emily Logan, one of her recommendations, I'm sure she's addressing what provisions we have. It's not necessarily the provision. It is the person on the ground using what they have available to them, not responding inappropriately to what's
one question. One question, Rose, that people might have is the number of Section 12 orders that were issued last year, something of the order of 700. Some people might think that that looks exceptionally high. Is there a particular reason, or is that simply the level of orders that are issued?
Well, I'm a barrister operating in Dublin. I don't have a full answer in terms of the national figure. What I would say in relation to Section 12s is it is relatively rare, albeit the practice I have is solely child protection. Section 12 is the very fine end of an arrow. It is the tip where things were at their worst, and where often it can be a social worker in a situation in a house that's completely gone out of control, and she needs protection along with the children. Those Section 12s are a vital piece of that legislation, but they don't work in isolation any more than the legislation works without interagency practice, which is the key to all the inquiries that have come to date from Kelly Fitzgerald, Kilkenny, and they are again in the appendices in the back of the Child Protection Handbook and in Children First as to how to assess what to have regard to Finian, diversity and needs of the family.
Just want to bring Finian McGrath in there.
When you're dealing with child protection issues, the first thing you have to do is, and the Minister has said it and Susan has said it in relation to it, you have to have good practice, good professional and standards and practice in there. And we have a lot of good people out there that can do that. But then the second issue is, which you touched on yourself, Brian, is you have to have the resources then. So if Emily Logan comes along, which the vast majority of people have great confidence in Emily in relation to her report, and if she comes out at the end of her report and says, listen, we need such a resources prioritised, I think we have a duty to put those services in place. And can I say, I welcome that inquiry handled by Emily Logan, because she would have a great confidence right across all the
Minister Fitzgerald.
One of the points I would make is that the Gardaí have built up a huge amount of expertise. They put huge efforts and training and money into this whole area of recognising where abuse, sexual abuse, neglect is going on. So I would want to say that. I mean, that's an important
very,
context.
Very quickly as well,
but
Minister.
But you must also put the 700 into the overall picture of child abuse, neglect, sexual abuse. We get 40,000 this year, 40,000 referrals to the children's services where people are concerned about neglect, child abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. So in that context, the guards using the Section 12, you can see why it could be necessary.
Very, very quickly, Minister, I want to ask you, I know you were awaiting the outcome of the legal challenge to the children's referendum, but what now is the timeline for the Children's First legislation?
The Children's First legislation, first of all, it went to committee last year. We got a 600-page report back from the committee. We've brought the heads through government of the bill, and I would hope we'd be publishing it hopefully this term or early in the new year.
Rose, very
May
quickly.
I just say, in relation to the Ombudsman inquiry, I welcome that she has huge credibility in the state. And just to say, she said in a 2008 report on trafficking that the media needed to have sensitivity in relation to child victims of trafficking, and I'd say alleged victims too. The media has a responsibility in this.
And I think the Children's First legislation should be given major priority.
Okay, we're going to leave that discussion for now, and no doubt we will be back to this issue when the Children's Ombudsman, Emily Logan, issues her report in a few weeks' time. I'd like to thank Rose Forrest and Bridget Quilligan for joining us. Minister Francis Fitzgerald and Finian McGrath will be staying with us after this short break. The new laws on alcohol consumption. Is it the nanny state strikes back? Or a long overdue development. Stay with us.